Tip FM's Extra Time with Ronan Quirk.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Extra Time. My name is Ronan Quirk. We're here until 8 o'clock this evening. I'd love to hear from you. Our text number is 083 311 3311. You're very welcome along. Lots to cover on tonight's show. We'll be looking back on Mullinahone reaching an All-Ireland Ladies Football Final. They take on St Jude's of Dublin. We'll be hearing from them after their great win over St Brendan's at the weekend. John Devan will also be, we'll hear from him, and we'll also be talking to Noel Dundon about the Thurles CBS Harty Cup semi-final. Geraldine Canaan on Drummond Inch's year finally coming to an end after their loss in the Munster final. We've a lot of local rugby to talk about, and we'll also be talking community games as well. We'd love to hear from you. Our text number is 083 311 3311. Our Twitter handle is at TipFM Sport if you prefer that form of communication. But it's been a long old time since we spoke about competitive football matches in Tipperary, but we're going to be speaking about them now, and we're going to be speaking about them for weeks to come, because the National Football League kicks off, or throws in, whatever way you want to call it, next Sunday afternoon. David Power's on the line. David, how are you?
I'm good, Ronan. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to be back talking about competitive fixtures. Great to be talking about crowds, being able to go to the games and all the rest. And the Fraher Field is where you start your quest to get out of Division 4.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're looking forward to it. And it'd be nice to have a crowd and not playing in an empty stadium. So we're looking forward to it. And so the last couple of weeks, we're after really knuckling down. We're after getting all the lads back after all our different club commitments. So we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and this is a bit of a change, a different look. I mean, I know a couple of lads who just have not been able, for whatever reason, work, etc., make themselves available to you. I know Pádraig Lúram, he's working in Dublin, so he's not available to you. Michael Quinlivan's not available to you. Emmett Maloney's not available to you. These are quality players.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they're all big losses. And Brian Fox, obviously, then he's after retiring as well. So look, they're all big losses, but look, we have to look ahead and look towards what we have. I think we're after bringing in some very, very good young talent. And, you know, we didn't want to be here, but the fact that now we are here, it gives us a real opportunity to look at maybe some of the younger lads and start looking towards the future for Tip football as well. So, I suppose we have a couple of aims. Obviously, getting out of Division 4 is an aim, but also blood and through more, we'll say, new talent as well.
Yeah, so you look at Division 4, it is competitive. I mean, Cavan are there as well. I was only thinking over the course of the last week or so about a game I was up at in Breffni Park, Tip Cavan in 2018, where the winner of that game got promoted to Division 1, and it was extraordinary that they just pipped us at that game. And look where we both are now.
Yeah, Cavan are actually being relegated in 2021, so they're off three relegations in a row. So, I suppose from the outset, people are going to make Cavan and Tipperary favourites, but you're going to have Leitrim's, the Sligo's, the Wexford's. They're going to be very, very strong as well. I think the big thing that I learned from last year, and especially with COVID, even though we're all opened up now, Ronan, COVID can still very much hit the squad, and the players have to be very, very careful of that, because at the minute, thank God, we've no issues, but one week could wipe out a couple of players off you as well. So we're just going to take it week by week and game by game.
It's an interesting point that you bring that up, David, because do you feel like you've lost some degree of control, where in the past you would have sort of been able to set guidelines for players and say, this is what's expected of you in terms of how you socialise, how you mix, how you interact? The government have kind of removed virtually all restrictions, so therefore have you lost that ability to I trying to say, not exert control over your players, but tell them what guidelines you want them to comply with?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I'm not on about even the players going out socialising. Like we have a lot of lads in third level college. If you're in UL, you're being some probably about 19,000-20,000 students or whatever the case may be. And that's fairly daunting, because ultimately, we're all going to be going back home to our families after training and after matches. And we still have to follow different protocols as well, and making sure that we're looking after, like, as I said to all the players, please act responsible, because at the end of the day, we don't want to be bringing it into the group, because like, if you bring it into the group, you could have a number of issues then afterwards. So that's the one thing, look, that's what that I learned from last year, like injuries and everything. The big thing that we have to look at it game by game. I think we're after coming up with a very, very strong squad of players that are more than capable of getting out of Division 4. But again, we can't be looking to no further than Dungarvan on Sunday. And we can't be thinking that we're going down there just to go through the motions. We have to be going down with the right attitude, the right application, and ready, and to be ready for a very, very tough battle.
Would you regard every game as must win?
Yeah, I would say, we would need to be getting at least 10, if not 12 points to make sure that we're going to get promoted. And I suppose looking at it, you have Waterford and Leitrim and kind of your first 2 weekends, and then you have a weekend off, and then you have Wexford and Sligo. So to be honest with you, our picture is going to be really, we're going to know a lot before we go to Cavan in the fifth round. And, I think the first four games, will tell us the bigger picture of where we're going to be going. And hopefully that's back up. But it's not going to be easy. You're going to have very, very tough battles. You're going to be playing against a lot of defensive systems. And we just have to be ready for it. But we have to be ready for the battle. And I think the big thing that we took out of the McGrath Cup, we were down by 3-4 points against Limerick, and we came back at the end, and that shows that there's a bit of steel back into this squad again, and I'm really looking forward to it, and hopefully that we can show the supporters that hunger is back again, I think, this year.
Well, you've got Jack Kennedy kicking points for you now. This is J.K. Bracken's Jack Kennedy, I should say. It's great to have two Jack Kennedys in any fit team, but he's able to step up and take responsibility on young shoulders, and he has a limited experience at intercounty level, but I just thought there was a huge maturity in those last 2 points he kicked against Limerick.
Absolutely. He's learning his trade. He's literally only in the door. And look, he's going to have to bide his time. And we've got the likes of, like, unfortunately, because of Mullinahone's big success in under 21 hurling, Michael O'Shea and Martin Keogh didn't really play in the McGrath Cup. And they're like an Anna McBride. We have a lot of young talent, but at the same time, we still have a very experienced panel. We still have a lot of good players there that are very, very capable. And I suppose it's just getting the right mix. And you've Sean O'Connor, who got on the under 20.
He was the captain
selection
last year, of the under 20s.
He was picked on the top 15 under 20 players in Ireland last year after having a massive under 20 Munster Championship for Tipperary. So there is talent there. So we just have to harness that.
But he wasn't available to you last year. I think he was kind of given. He was kind of said went off with the under 20s for most of the championship.
That's right.
Yeah, so
well,
he wasn't playing senior.
No, we were the under 20s were playing the week of the Kerry game, and to be honest with you, we just left under 20. I think it was important that, especially that we hadn't won in 5 or 6 years at that grade, that we needed to get that win. And I think our decision was really vindicated by the lads getting to a Munster final, which is great, because we needed the underage. The last number of years has been so tough going for the underage in football, and for the 20s to get to that football final last year was huge as well. And there's some very good young fellas off that, and we're just nurturing them, because there's some of them are very, very busy at the minute. They're playing freshers colleges, and they're playing Fitzgibbon and all sorts, so we just have to be very, very patient.
Looking at the panel, you've selected for National League, there's like some Mark Russell in there, somebody who's a big man, can do a job in the middle of the field, and you've brought in players from clubs that are becoming successful. I'm particularly mindful of Grange Mokler, Ballyneal.
Absolutely. I give Mark O'Mara in there. We also have a senior development squad that Joey Lyons is part of as well. And also then you have three or four Grahamsmuckle lads that are going to be under 20, that I think over the next 12 to 24 months you're going to be seeing on a senior football panel as well, which is great. But we just have to be careful, because the conditioning of senior inter-county players now is just gone to another level, and we just have to take our time making sure that these lads are going to be ready. So look, over the next couple of years, I think you're going to be seeing a couple of more Grahamsmuckle lads, definitely.
Yeah, you were obviously disappointed to lose the services of Conor Bowe, who's gone in with the senior hurlers.
Yeah, look, I had a great conversation with Conor Bowe. I get on great with him, actually. We had a good chat there last week, and I was delighted for him. And look, Ronan, look, 99 times over 100, when a player gets a choice between hurling and football in Tipperary, look, they're going to pick hurling, and I have no issues with that. I really do hope that it works out for him. And look, he gave us a great year last year. He's a terrific young fella, and that's the one thing I can really say for Colin Bonner. He's after getting a really, really good person, and I really, really do hope that it works out for him.
I'm just looking through it again. Somebody like Johnny Ryan stands out for me as well, because he's a fella who, you know, captaincy has been given to him on the basis of what he must be able to speak about. He's a mature young man. Now, I do emphasise he's a young man, but he, you know, I think he captained our minors. He may have well captained our under-20s hurlers some stage as well, like Garvaille Rovers. You know, fella who's blossomed and been developed over a couple of years and now called into senior football squad.
That's it, yeah. Like again, he's with Joey Lyons on this senior development.
Yeah.
He's loads of inter-county experience with the hurling, and again, he just needs just a bit more football over the next couple. And what we're trying to create, Ron, like we've a panel of 32 players for the league, but they can fellas come in and out of that as well. We're trying to create that competition, internally, because if we have that competition internally, it's going to come out then every weekend. Look, again, Johnny Ryan is a great talent, and hopefully then we can see that over the coming months.
Are you glad to see water breaks being done away with?
Thank God.
I think so.
I'll be honest.
So
with you.
Say like, all of us, I swear
yeah,
to I'm just, like, some managers, I think if I lined up 32 inter-county managers, I'm not so sure they'd all say thank God, because it struck me that some really enjoyed the opportunity it gave to alter tactics.
Yeah, I think no doubt it probably did really suit the stronger county, because if you take an underdog, if they were really going well and all of a sudden then there's a water break, it's going to suit the stronger county that can just reset again. I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing from a supporter's point of view that we have a full half now. I suppose my biggest concern now is really how we're going to get the message into our players, because I don't think the Mayor Foreigner is going to be coming back, and that's going to be, because I suppose the last 2 years, like, it was grand, you were playing in front of empty stadiums, so you could be talking, be like a challenge match, but now you're going to have crowds back, and I think over the last 2 years, the fact that people couldn't go to matches, I think you're going to have probably bigger crowds going to different league matches over the next couple of months. So from a practicality point of view, getting messages into the players, that's my only concern.
Yeah, well, I'll leave that one in your capable hands, and Paddy and all your backroom staff as well. It's an interesting aside, you know, the fact that we've had these for 2 years, and players need to get used to the fact that their manager's going to try to communicate with them in an altogether different way. Look, David, I wish you well for the year ahead. It's a big year, I think, for Tip Football, because, you know, if I ask you your priority right now, it probably is, your priority is Waterford on Sunday, but it's about getting out of Division 4.
Absolutely. And I think, Ronan, look, we are more than capable of getting out of it, but I think it's grand talking about it. Now we have to go off and just do it. And I think we have to start on Sunday. I think Waterford, they're after getting in a very experienced management team in Aoife Fitzgerald and Peter Lahey. So they're going to be well tuned up and they're going to be well prepared. So we just have to be ready for that battle. If we can start with 2 points on Sunday, hopefully that'll set us up for the year.
Stay well, David. Thanks indeed.
Thanks, Ronan.
Not at all. That's David Power joining us there, and we wish our footballers well. That for opening round game in the Fraher Field is on this coming Sunday afternoon. That's Sunday the 30th of January. It throws in at 2 o'clock in the Fraher Field, Tip Waterford. And then the following Sunday in the stadium, it is Tip against Leitrim. That's a 2 p.m. throw-in as well. So there are opening two fixtures in the National Football League Division 4, away to Waterford in the Fraher Field and then home in the stadium against Leitrim at 2 o'clock. And we hope to see a lot of people there. The Hurlers get their National Hurling League campaign underway on Saturday week. That's the 5th of February. That is an evening game. I think it's about 6 p.m. We're playing Laois in Portlaoise, if memory serves me correctly. That is on Saturday. It is 6 p.m. Division 1B of the National Hurling League, Laois Tipperary in Portlaoise at 6 o'clock. Our text number is 083-311-3311. Well, Mullinahone are into an All-Ireland final. This is Mullinahone ladies football team. They're in the All-Ireland junior final. They overcame St Brendan's of Galway at the weekend, and they're going to play St Jude's of Dublin in the All-Ireland football final. We wish them well. Let's catch up with them, because after the game, Lorraine O'Shea, who scored an opening goal for Mullinahone, she was speaking to Stephen Gleeson.
Yeah, I suppose it's just fantastic to get over the line now in that hard battle. St Brendan's, I suppose, really put it up to us, and we're expecting nothing less from them. And it's just absolutely fantastic now to be in an All-Ireland final in 2 weekends' time, and I suppose creating history for the parish as well. You can see here the crowds that have come from all over the south of Tip to come here and support us, and we're just so grateful for them.
The effort that went into your team, they were roaring you on. John Lahey was there in the crowd, you know, there was people all over the place. Helen Walsh was there cheering you on. They were from all over, and they really got you going, I suppose, but ye really performed.
Yeah, it was just so positive to hear the crowd backing us. Every turnover, every point that we got, every free that we won, they were just roaring us on, and they really got behind us. It was like having a 16 player on the field. It was just absolutely fantastic, obviously, to play in such fabulous grounds, to have it in our own nearly back garden, really. It was just tremendous, and we're just so thankful that the support that came out here today.
You got that early goal. It proved vital, because Brendan's really hit you hard in the second quarter just before half time. Second half, it was anyone's.
Yeah, I suppose I was just on the end of, I think one of the players, one of the forwards, turned it over, and I was just on the end pass. I had the easy job. But yeah, I mean, Brendan's then got their perfect patch, and we had to work so hard. It was literally a battle right till the end of the whistle, to the final whistle even. They were physical. They came down here to obviously win the match, and we were just lucky to come out on the right side of it.
This team, you're made up with Tip players, Kilkenny players. You've Denise Gall, the star for Kilkenny Camogie team, and you have a lot of players from Mullinahone there that are giving their all. The effort that has gone in down the years by Judy Maher and co, who have put it in all along, Paul Kelly as well today, even on the sideline, all of them are just egging you on to that All-Ireland.
Yeah, 100%. We've such tremendous, such a tremendous backroom team. And I mean, there's such great links there between Wyangap, Mullinahone, and even other areas around. And it's just fantastic to get their expertise. You know, they're used to big days, and I suppose their attitude showed there in the last few minutes.
Going down the home straight, you really had to put it up to Brendan's, because they were coming at you in waves, and you had to keep attacking. It was probably the best form of defence, because it was a very physical game.
Yeah, an extremely physical game, and credit to the ref, he let a lot go, which is nice. You know, it wasn't stop-starty, but their running off the shoulder was fantastic. But I suppose we've been credited all year for our defence. Everyone just works for one another. You know, there's no standout player. Everyone just has their role in the field, and we go out there every single game to do our job and to work as a team. And look, today we're just on the right side of it again, and it worked.
Well, Ireland final to come now, St Jude's, the opponents. It must be really exciting to be looking forward to.
Yeah, exciting. I suppose we were taking it one game at a time, so we actually haven't even looked towards the final yet. But look, I suppose we let this one sink in now and prepare for the All-Ireland final come tomorrow. But yeah, look, creating history. We'll go out and give it a shot. It's not every day that you're in an All-Ireland final. So look, we'll give it 100% like we've done throughout the games, throughout the rest of the championship. And yeah, I'm sure we'll have a battle on our hands again.
That's Lorraine O'Shea speaking to Stephen Gleeson after the full-time whistle in Callan after Mullinahone defeated St Brendan's on a scoreline of 1-6 to 6 points. Their manager, Paul Kelly, needs no introduction. He's on the line. How are you, Paul?
How are you, Ron? How are you doing?
Firstly, congratulations. Is this on, you know, uncharted waters for you? When you sat down to set goals for the girls at the start of the year, you know, perhaps the county was the summit, not necessarily an All-Ireland final.
Yeah, listen, I suppose you mentioned on uncharted waters there and you hit the nail on the head. Again, listen, I took on this group of players at the start of the year. We had no expectations. We tried to make training as fun as possible for the girls. As the season grew then, a couple of our girls were up playing Camogie with Winegap. So in terms of Winegap, who some of their girls come down to us for football and our girls go up there to play Camogie, we built the team and, you know, generated a great buzz in the camp and we won the county final. And then we just went into the Munster Championship and everything after that was a bonus. Thankfully, we won the Munster Championship and again, we're ending up in an All-Ireland final, which I suppose is beyond our belief, really, Ronan.
Yeah, I mean, you've lots of great club people play with their club for many years and never get a chance to sample an All-Ireland final. It's a massive occasion for these young girls.
Oh, exactly, Ronan. It's a huge honour for them.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. You've hit the nail on the head this time by using the word honour.
Yeah, it is. To reach an All-Ireland club final at any level, be it men's GAA or ladies football or Camogie, you know, it is an honour. Like myself, Owen, John Lahey, Brian O'Mara, Paul Curran played for years and we got one cut at a Munster Championship and it didn't work our way. Like you talk about Ballyhales and that, the St. Thomas's, you know, they're regular and like you'd hear, I suppose, the community gets behind a rural club. And, you know, the girls have generated that in Mullinahone now. And I suppose, listen, they're emulating what past players who would have represented Mullinahone in the red and green. And even, we mentioned Mullinahone, but again, Winegap, you know, there's that sense of a real community here. And everyone's talking about ladies football. There was people inside in Callan yesterday now, I suppose, who you'd be surprised to see at matches, which is great. And that's what it's about, getting the community out, supporting the team, and particularly in GAA or ladies football or Camogie.
You'll have to get Jackie Bulger out to rouse up a crowd to bring you up to wherever that All-Ireland final be against St Jude's.
Yeah, well, I suppose we'll have to get Jackie on the... No better voice, right. yeah, Jackie was again in cheering us on there yesterday. You know, and it's great for them, like people who would have represented Mullinahone for years at, you know, when John Lahey kicked off the steamroller here in Mullinahone back in 89. And, you know, thankfully we much success here over the years and we got one county final. And again, listen, it's nice to, I suppose, have those players like even Oddie Maher there, who's in Kilsheen and a Mullinahone man who's soldier with Mullinahone many a year. Like, he was at the match yesterday. His sister came down from Monaghan and who would have played ladies football with Tipperary over the years too. You know, so it is, the girls are really after, I suppose, creating a buzz which doesn't happen in every parish.
No.
And it's only when club championship comes around that buzz and you're winning is generated.
What were your thoughts after the opening few minutes? Because I think you were 1-2 to no score up after Lorraine got her goal. But there was a long period then when you didn't score.
Yeah, listen, we start strong. That's our objective. We start strong, Ron. Again, we got a good start yesterday. And then we hit a purple patch, which is the natural flow of the game anyway. And again, like, our backs worked so hard during that period. And even the forwards walked back, tracked back, and dispossessed Brendan's at times. You know, again, Brendan's had that I suppose, dominant patch. But again, our backs were tremendous, and they didn't capitalise on that. Well, they weren't allowed to capitalise on it, Ron, to be honest. But again, listen, we had chances, kicked a few into the goalie's hands, and, you know, that's just a learning experience towards the next day that we hopefully we can learn from that, and, you know, it'll pay dividends the next day.
Well, it's a good point you make about your defence, because very often it's the scorers get the headlines, but I thought your defence yesterday was the reason you won the match.
Yeah, listen, I suppose both give credit to St. Brendan's. They had their tactics done on Lorraine, Ava. You know, their backs were set up. And again, our backs, like, you could say it was a game of backs, really. You know, when Brendan's attacked, our backs broke them down, dispossessed them, turned them over, and we attacked and vice versa. Like, it was a game that was near the end. It was up and down the field, you know. And as you said, normally the forwards get the credit.
Yeah.
But again, you look at the score, 1-6 to 6 points. So it'll just tell you, like, that backs on both sides were dominant. And thankfully, we had probably the percentage that gave us that victory.
Yeah, so you've I suppose the reason I'm asking this is you've stuff to work on in the next 10, 14 days before that All-Ireland final.
Yeah, listen, we go back training tomorrow night. Listen, obviously, naturally enough, we didn't get a perfect performance, and hopefully we're building towards that, which we, for the final and that. So, yeah, again, listen, there's always stuff to work on, you know, in terms of, I suppose, tactics. You know, we'll have to look at Jude's and see can we tactically break down them, and vice versa. They'll probably do the same to us, and, you know, I suppose we need to get a game plan up our sleeve or less, so... Yeah, listen, there's always something to work on in Gaelic games.
That's true, no doubt about it. Do you know where that match is going to be fixed for? It's the weekend after next.
It's the weekend after next one. No, we haven't got any confirmation of a fixture. You know, I suppose the talk would be Croke Park naturally, but unfortunately that's not the case. You know, but I'm sure it'll be a neutral venue in Laois or Carlow.
Okay, something like that. Sides. Jude's, yeah, I'm just thinking about the size of that club. Like, you know, they're senior football in men's, but they probably have a pick of God knows how many. I'm just comparing populations of parishes, you know, there's no comparison.
Well, that's it. You know, it's a city club. Again, like, population compared to Mullinahon, is probably, you know, you're looking at a fair difference there. Multiples, right. And again, like, you know, hopefully we'll have that bit of character that I suppose the rural player has more so than the city club.
Well, Paul, all I can do is tell you that, no more so than you know yourself, it's you're doing it for the pride of the village, and we wish you well, and it's a great story, and we look forward to seeing how it finishes.
Yeah, listen, it's been a great story. I suppose from where those girls are after coming from. It's absolutely tremendous. And again, listen, thanks for everyone.
No problem, Paul. Listen, wish them all well, and I look forward to talking to you with good news in a fortnight's time. Stay well.
Please God. Thanks again, everyone.
Paul Kelly joining us there, the manager of the Mullinahone Ladies, who are in an All-Ireland Junior Football Final against St. Jude's of Dublin. And that's a great story to start 2022. What a great it would be to see an All-Ireland Final come back to Tip. Anyway, let's just turn our attention to the Thurles CBS game that was held during the week. Ardskull Rheis and Thurles played out that game in Nina. It finished Ardskull Rheis 4-18, Thurles CBS 1-12. After the game, John Devan spoke to Tip FM.
Yeah, big time, Stephen. Just didn't work out, I suppose. That first 15 minutes just blitzed us, and I suppose we had no answer and we were chasing the game. It was probably, maybe it was all over at that stage, I don't know, but I thought the lads fought after that, but yeah, big disappointment today, Stephen.
And you were going into it with a bit of confidence, but a good start at this level, it can, you know, play a big part, and the Limerick school got it.
Yeah, of course. And you know, we spoke beforehand about Shane O'Brien, the danger he caused and the danger young Kennedy caused, and we thought we had that covered off, but just the goals came, and came quick and came fast, and there was four of them, and the game really, I suppose, was taken away from us at that first 10-12 minutes. And look, maybe it took our confidence. You know, you're coming up, there's 17, 18, 19 year olds here, and definitely that start just took the life out of us, took the energy out of us.
Limerick hurling is on a high though, isn't it, like at every level, and you know, it's like it's easier really when the senior team are going well and the under 20 team are going well.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, it was a great thing we had three Tipperary schools in the quarterfinals. There's only one Limerick school really competing at that level. So that's a big thing. And our school are there for the last 10 years competing. But there is no other. So I suppose, like, you have to look at where they're pulling from. They're pulling from South Clare. They're pulling from as far out as Kilmallock. They have a huge pick. There's 12 clubs represented in their team. Whereas whether it be Nina or Cashel or Templemore or Thurles, you're really only pulling out your own hinterland. You know what I mean?
And those local players, like, it's going to stand to them, I suppose, playing at this level when they go back to their clubs now, and like, they'll be back straight into club action over the next few months.
Yeah, they will, and like, we couldn't ask any more of those players. The club season ran late with under 17, under 19, and then under 21s only finishing, like Joe Mayer and Stephen Walsh only won the county title last Saturday. So, you know, we've had to work with the clubs, and we've always found working with the clubs around Thurles is a privilege, I suppose, and they're all real strong clubs that promote the game really well.
This is a long-term thing in Thurles, though. You know, the hurling is part of the culture. So you don't win this year, you put the head down, come back, work harder. That's the ethic.
Yeah, and we're lucky that we have a staff there probably that put huge effort into the players, whether that be on the field, in the classroom, and I think Paddy McCormick just said in the dressing room, I suppose, helped them grow as young men as much as that, which is important, which they'll need over the next couple of days, because they'll be very, very disappointed. There'll be nobody more disappointed here, Stephen, than the players. They've put a huge effort in, not only just here, over the last 5 or 6 years, coming to Thurles and I suppose developing their skills, and that's a really disappointing thing for him to finish on that note today.
But going forward, it'll stand to them probably down the line, and they're sure to have good careers over the next 10 or so years.
Yeah, of course it will, and I suppose that's what we're there to do. We'll put our arm around them and I suppose encourage them to go again, whether that be with their club or with under 17 county teams or with the under 20s later on in the year.
That's John Devan, Thurles CBS, speaking to Stephen Gleeson after that game in Nenagh during the week. Noel Dunnan's on the line. How are you, Noel?
Hello, Ron. How are things?
The scoreline suggests a significant gulf between the players.
Yeah, it does, and it was very evident, to be honest, Ronan. You know, it made for difficult viewing as a past pupil of the school and having played hearty and all that kind of thing. You know, it made for difficult viewing, believe me. But, you know, I don't think, in terms of the teams, there's probably not that big of a gap as maybe the scoreline would suggest. John Devan probably hit the nail on the head there. You know, 3 goals in 12 minutes in the first quarter. You know, it was good night, Irene, at that stage, really, you know.
How good was Shane O'Brien?
Oh, sure, listen. 2-6 from play, yeah. Ronan, you know. Like, a lot of people would have seen that goal maybe on
yeah,
on
it has. It's gone viral the way he controlled the ball. It's quite extraordinary.
Unreal, yeah. The point, I should say, yeah. But that was just one of a selection of scores that he got. Like, you know, he was unmarkable, really. Really, really good player. Mm. You know, I think probably had the age not been an issue, he would have played in the Munster Club Final, you know, a week or two ago for Kilmallock against the Waterboys.
Ballygunner, you know.
Yeah. So, like, you know, he wasn't permitted to do so because of the age, but I think he would certainly have been on. I gather he was training with them and playing in all their internal games. That he's something special, you know. He certainly one to watch out for, I think, you know.
Unfortunately, yeah, we'll have to keep an eye out on him when he pulls on a green jersey in due course. You know, there's a lot to be said as well. The fact there was a couple of Mike Harkey lads who had been busy with their under 21s, got to a county final, won a county final, probably celebrated that, and straight back to Harty. Difficult.
Difficult, yeah. And like, you know, when you look through that team, that Thurles CBS team, like, you know, most of those boys were hurling all year long with little or no break. Like, you go even from, you know, the Dodo Soul boys there, and as you mentioned, the McCarthy lads, you know, Joe Caesar of Holy Cross, Jimmy Lahart, they were all playing in the under 21 championship, which started about 2 weeks before Christmas, you know. So they were training all the way along with Harty and with club. The same with Joe Egan, who actually did quite well, scored a goal in 2 points for Thurles, was probably the most progressive forward, maybe alongside Jack Leamy. But, you know, they've had long years. They've had a long time. They've been a long time at it. Of course, they wanted to continue on. It's like Loughmore, isn't it? You want to keep winning.
Yeah, you want to keep going for as long as possible.
Week on
yeah.
week, you know. Nobody wants to be out of competition. But, you know, they've a lot of hurling done. A hell of a lot of hurling done. And you just kind of feel that, look, it didn't work for them. They actually looked flat, I thought, on Saturday. And I guess when you're shipping goals like that, it's easy for a team to look flat, you know. The running isn't in the legs. But I'd have to give them credit, Ronan. I'd have to give them credit that they fought and fought. They didn't give up the ghost, the chase, even though they were so far behind. They kept going. And, you know, I think hats off to them for that, you know.
No doubt about it. It's been a big, busy week for the commercial side of things in Tipperary County Board level with the announcement of a sponsor for Semple Stadium, which was well flagged, and also a new shirt sponsor, which has finally been announced after some months of speculation. I suppose now we can start selling jerseys again.
And I'd say that's what they'll be hoping to do, Ronan.
Although the Bloody Sunday one sold really well for them. That was a blessing in disguise during tough financial times.
It was. You know, it was a beautiful jersey too, you know, a real collector's item kind of jersey, you know. Have to say I'm quite taken with the new jersey, you know.
I think the colours are great. I love the shade of blue they've gone for. So it's a thumbs up from Noel and Ronan for the O'Neill's designers. There you go, lads. Well done.
I don't think they'd be given us one to wear.
No, we weren't consulted. No.
But no, I think, like, you know, styles change and all that, and people will have their view on the style. Some people won't like it. The collar is back. Some people won't like that. They would have preferred the one without the collar and all that. But I just think, you know, having seen the jersey, I'm delighted that the blue or that the gold has gone around the back as well.
Yes,
you know,
that's very important.
Which is, yeah. And I think, and look, I haven't seen it up close, but I gather that the Michael Hogan image is
on the
jersey
sleeve,
too.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, which is lovely. You know, it's a really nice touch, I think. So,
yeah.
I don't think we'll complain too much if that jersey is seen on our All-Ireland final day in, I was going to say September, but in July now, in Croke Park, you know.
July?
Yeah, isn't it July now?
I thought it was August. I'll have to start looking at my holiday schedule again.
Yeah,
and,
you will, Roland. Yeah,
God almighty.
July,
thanks for telling me. Yeah. no, but it's good. I think there's a couple of issues as well in relation to the naming rights for Semple Stadium. It's been teased out a lot, and over the course of the last month, we would have had a lot of texts in relation to it. People have misgivings about it, but I think there's a dawning realisation that, you know, we're only following suit of other counties, and it is money that you just find hard to turn away.
Yeah, like, you know, I think it's no great secret that Semple Stadium hasn't been able to wash its own face for the last number of years. Once the big games were gone out with big crowds coming to them, the Semple Stadium Management Committee really struggled to make ends meet. And in fact, County Board had kind of, if you like, bailed them out on a number of occasions with different funds and that. So, like, look, they have to look at everything. A stadium is a big place, and every small job is a big job. If you decide to paint a door, you have to paint 50 doors, 100 doors, you know. So it's a big, big, there's a big, big maintenance bill there. And if you want your surface to be as good as we have
become accustomed to
in Semple Stadium, you have to invest in it. They've done that. You know, they've a brilliant caretaker there as well, in Padraig Green. You know, a man of vast experience. But that all comes at a cost, and the machinery comes at a cost. And if you decide to sand the field, you have to pay for the sand, you have to pay for the fertiliser, you have to pay for the water. It's a big, big drain on resources. And when you don't have Munster Championship games there, All-Ireland quarterfinals and you know, qualifiers, all that type of thing, when you don't have those games there, the revenue simply isn't coming in. So you have to look at other things. And they have looked at other things. They've run the Féile Classical, which, you know, had, you know, a small degree of success, maybe.
Perhaps a bit of a one-year wonder, though. I mean, it was something that was never perhaps going to have longevity. There was a nostalgic element to it. And
there was, yeah.
And Gareth isn't coming for five nights.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I you know, like, I think probably, you know, they would probably say that the days of those sort of events in Semple Stadium, you know, are limited, because you simply don't have the bed capacity around Thurles to support it.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what you need. It's a little bit different from the Féile model of the 1990s, where people were camping out and all that. You know, maybe Electric Picnic has kind of taken over in that sense. Right?
Yes.
But so look, it's a different thing. They're constantly looking at ways of trying to raise funds. The selling of the seat initiative has been going well enough, I gather. It's a very novel idea, and hopefully that maybe will help them to realise the kind of cash reserves that they need, because they have a big ambitious plan there to develop Ardonagh Canaan, the old stand, maybe more familiar to people. There's a big plan there to do that. but it's going to take money, and it's going to take a lot of it, you know. Yeah, so
no doubt about it. Yeah. And I look forward to a 45,000 capacity in Semple Stadium again. It's been a while since we've had it. It's something we enjoyed, something perhaps we took for granted, and the last 2 years, I think, has taught us that you can't beat Munster final Sunday and in the square, and the processional walk down to the stadium. That's exactly where we all want to be again.
And you won't have people complaining about it taking them an hour to get out on the road.
Not
like that.
At
they'll
all.
Be glad to be, they'll be glad to be there. You'll again, be, you know?
Good luck getting them out of the place. That's what I say.
Exactly,
anyway,
exactly.
It's good talking to you, Noel.
You too, Ronan.
Take care. God bless.
Care,
that's Noel
too.
Dundon from the Tipperary Star joining us there. And yeah. It's a hard disappointment for Thurles CBS in the Hearty, but that's a serious Artscoil Rheis team. We look forward to seeing what develops of that. 083-311-3311. Finally, I think it's fair to say that the curtain has come down on Drum and Inch's camogie season. Geraldine Canan's with us. How are you, Ger?
How you doing, Ronan?
Is that fair to say? That has the curtain finally come down on season upon season that all seem to be truncated into one?
Yeah, I suppose definitely. Definitely the last 2 years, I suppose, have all sort of rolled into one. And, you know, and I think maybe that could have probably had an effect in the performance.
That was my next question, and whether or not that this is just the end of an exhausting road.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I mean, talks beforehand was that, you know, the girls are flying in training, and no doubt they were, and playing well in panel matches and all that. But I think the performance was a bit flat at the weekend, and, you know, just looking from the outside looking in, I wonder, you know, I mean, mentally it is draining match after match, and you know, one campaign ends and straight away you have another one starting. And you know, while it's been brilliant and they've gone a run, and you know, they have a Munster title, and I do think it has to have a bearing too. You know, just a bit of lethargic, maybe mental drain is there. And you know, I think the performance, they'll be disappointed, the girls will be disappointed with the performance at the weekend. You know, it wasn't good enough to beat Scariff on the day, and it's just a pity because it's so hard to win Munster titles. And you know, I think you could, on another day, a better performance, you could have easily won it.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a point is all it cost them in the end, 1-8 to 1-7. And as it got into the business end in the latter stages, you kind of felt that maybe Drum and Inch were getting on a roll. There was points from Joanne McRyan, Emer McGrath, getting them back into it. And I just wondered whether the tide had turned a little bit for Drum.
Oh, definitely. Like, you know, I suppose Scariff were probably on top for a lot of it. Drum, I suppose, were kind of waiting for them to get going. And then got a goal and probably a little bit against the run of play, and suddenly they sprung into life. And with 10 minutes there, where we kind of saw the real Drum and Inch team, and you know, they looked like, oh, they're, you know, they were definitely going to win, and they, you know, they were moving, the confidence was kind of like the shackles were off, and they suddenly, you know, loads of attacking ability. And but in fairness to Scariff and Glenlow, they're a good side, and they came back and they got a goal, and suddenly we were down a point again. So and unfortunately then we got had a chance to level it right at the net, and unfortunately Ian McGrath's free just went wide. So you know, it probably wasn't the most vintage camogie match, you know, for the first 50 minutes, but there was lots of excitement for the last 10 minutes, and you know, the crowd really got going as the lead swung back and forth. And definitely when Drum got the goal, you know, they looked great. They looked like they had the beatings of Scariff, but and you'd wonder if, you know, if we had got a goal earlier, maybe they would have sprung into life earlier, and you know, we could have been looking at an All Ireland semi final.
Again, yeah, it's been a great journey for them. You know, I just hope to get a chance to reflect on what they have achieved, as opposed, you know, the back-to-back county titles, the Munster title, getting competitive in an All-Ireland semi, another Munster final where they lose by a point. I mean, it has been a bit of a roller coaster, but there's been more highs than lows.
Oh, definitely. Like, you know, like I always allude to the fact that, you know, there were 7 years losing county finals or county semi-finals for Stohara, and to eventually win one and to go on and win 3 county finals in a row and a Munster title, like, it's, you know, stuff of dreams. And it's, you know, that group of players and the management, in fairness, they have won so much, and you know, it's been great for the club. And you know, especially the last 2 years of the pandemic, to have matches to look forward to have the excitement of finals to be winning and something to go to or watch on live stream, it has been fantastic. And, you know, the players and the management are a credit to the club and to the county, and they've been super county champions and Munster champions. And like I said, unfortunately, they just fell short, you know, on a few occasions.
Yeah, indeed. It's really good talking to you, Ger. It's been a really good story, the story of Drummond Inch's Camogie years. And look, who's to know, there's plenty more chapters to be written in due course.
Yeah, just to mention, Ron, as well, Castle Camogie, great win at the weekend, as had presentation, Turles, and just Knockavilla then have their Intermediate Munster title this weekend as well. So
I forgot about Knockavilla. Thank you for reminding me that Intermediate match. It was Castle Camogie School, wasn't it? That's a school game?
Yeah, Castle Community School won the Munster Senior A title at the weekend. So fantastic win. And Pres Turles had a win in the Junior Munster Championship as well. So a huge win for both schools.
The Camogie glass is always half full, Ger.
That's it.
Fair play. Thanks indeed. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ger Kinnan, for joining us there. Congratulations, Cashel. We look forward to seeing how they progress. And indeed, well done. And best of luck to Knockavilla. They've got that junior match next weekend. Let's turn our attention to rugby. Lots still. Every weekend, there's some great rugby being played in the fields around Tipperary. Senior clubs active as always on a Saturday. Peter Silk keeps an eye on it for us. How are you, Peter?
I'm very good, Ronan. Thank you.
Great win over Dolphin, and this one was down in Dolphin, Musgrave Park, 36 points to 24.
Yes, indeed. As I said to somebody today, it was a very unusual game because we dominated the first half, scoring three tries from Aidan Butler, Kieran Ryan and Alan McMahon, and we were leading 19-3. Now, the tries were hard-earned in that Dolphin had a very good defence and it took us a long time to break them down. But, you know, gradually we increased the lead in the second half. Brendan Bryan got a try after 55 minutes. And then 5 minutes later, Keane Milan got a try. So we were 31-3 up with 20 minutes left. And we were still 31-3 up with 12 minutes to go. And then, I don't know what happened, was did we get complacent or did Dolphin kind of wake up? But they got three converted tries in 10 minutes. And with 2 minutes to go, we were only 7 points ahead.
You must I mean, you're half, maybe your heads were back on the bus on your way home back to Cashel at 31-3. So. Like.
Yeah, at 31-3, it was done and dusted. But, you know, we just took the foot off the pedal for a little while and they took advantage of it. And they could see, you know, at that stage, they were on a losing bonus point. And if they got another try, they had a draw and a try bonus. So, you know, it was very, very tight. But luckily, Alan McMahon got a try with about a minute to us through to go, and that just put it out of their reach. And we ended up winning then by 12 points, which was a comprehensive win in the end. But it should have been a bit easier. We just made life a little bit difficult for ourselves for 10 or 15 minutes. But, you know, a very important win, away to Dolphin. They're a very old traditional club, and you're playing on the artificial pitch in Musgrave Park as well, which they're more used to than we are.
Yes.
And but the lads adapted well. They played some fantastic rugby. You know, it wasn't just forward power, even though the forwards, you know, had to work very hard. The backs also were running the ball at, you know, in an attractive way. It makes the game enjoyable for the people who are watching. And again, a very good game. Like, you have to have two teams competing.
Absolutely.
You know, get an attractive game.
Yeah, but it's all like Cashel's top four aspirations mean that you're going to have to keep winning every week.
We have, you know, because Ballymena keep winning and Queens, there's no stopping Queens. They've won all their matches except the one against us. They're on top of the league. They're 10 points ahead of Ballymena and Ballymena are 2 points ahead of us. So our first target would be to get into the top two if possible. You know, but we've a good few hard matches to come. You know, there are still 7 matches left. We play Old Crescent here next Saturday in Cashel. That'll be a good game as well. They have had 2 wins since Christmas.
Yeah, but so, let's just talk about them, because Nina, I was hoping Nina might be able to build on their result the previous week. And they did, to a certain extent, build on it in the fact that they pushed Old Crescent all the way, but they just came up short by a single point in the end.
Yeah, they were obviously unlucky. You know, they seem to have strengthened their squad since the Christmas break. You know, they've had a win. They got a bonus point on Saturday. And I was just looking at the league table today. They have 12 points, as have Rainy Old Boys. They're at the bottom. Then the next team is UL Bohemians with 20 points. Now, two wins would push you ahead of the third place team, and then, you know, you're out of relegation. So, you know, they have a lot to play for with the squad they have. And obviously, as I said, they've strengthened it because their results are much better than they were prior to Christmas. So, you know, I wouldn't write Nina off at all. I think they're in with a good chance of retaining their place in Division 2A.
Elsewhere in senior rugby, Clonmel still struggling. Couldn't get their first win in the campaign, losing at home to Tullamore.
Yeah, it's a terrible position to be in. You know, it's demoralising for the players, and I'm sure they're putting everything into it in preparation and also in the games. But just there are times when things don't go right for you. But, you know, again, if they got one or two wins, it would give them encouragement. And they should be targeting particularly their home matches. You know, and I'm sure they are. You know, they're a long time playing top-class rugby now. And, you know, they'll know what to do. But it's just unfortunate. It's a tough position to be in. Sunday as well are in a similar position at the bottom of that division.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it remains that way, the two of them will play off at the end of the season to see who stays up and to see who goes down. But yeah, the last thing we want to do is to see a Munster team going down to junior ranks. You know, it's...
Indeed, no doubt about it. Like, we've three senior teams in Tipperary, we need to keep the three of them. Just before I let you go, Munster Rugby, I just thought... I don't know how much of it you saw yesterday, but what struck me about it was there was a bit of a killer instinct back. You know, they were going for bonus points early, four tries early, and it just looked like Munster back playing European rugby the way that we've come to know and expect.
Well, I was at the game, Ronan, and, you know, there was a good atmosphere. They played some very, very good rugby. I thought the backs were brilliant. And I think it proved the point we were making. You know, the clock went into red and they had the ball. I think it was around their own 22. They kicked for touch and then they ran it all the way down and scored a try when the match was well done and dusted and the bonus point got. But it just showed, you know, they were determined, they were enjoying the game, and they played some very, very attractive rugby. And there was very, very little kicking of the ball away, which was a good thing, you know.
No doubt
about
it.
And I think we have a very good backline in Munster if they just open it out.
Give them the ball. There you are. Listen, I got to fly, Peter. Thanks for your time.
No problem.
Talk soon. Thanks indeed, Peter Silk, joining us there. Just before I go, just want to have one small feature because of the fact that we have limited time, but I want to touch base with the community games because Peggy Colville is the PRO of Tipperary Community Games. She's on the line. Peggy, I've got lovely memories from being a child at the community games, and you're appealing to lapsed areas to come back into the family.
That's it, Ronan. Yeah, we had a lot of inquiries from people, you know, new areas, people who would like to be involved and don't know much about it, and areas that lapse. So we're having a special development meeting then on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, and it's on Zoom. And we're, you know, want people to contact us so that we can send them the link for this, which is going to be tipperary@communitygames.eu or pro@communitygames.ie.
It's a wonderful institution, and I use that word because it's been around since Adam was a boy, I'd say. And it's different. I mean, this is a sports show and people think of community games as being a sporting activity. But like art is part of the community games. Skittles are part of the community games. You don't have to necessarily build up a sweat or be on a pitch togged out to participate in community games. So it's very inclusive.
Yeah, this is the thing. There's over 50 activities, you know, on offer from children from over under 8 to under 16. And as you said, not all kids are sporty. So you'd have the art, the model making, the handwriting, chess, drafts and the table quiz and that type of thing. And then you have various events in athletics and swimming and cycling on grass. And then we would move on to, as you said, all our teams, which is GA and soccer and rugby and badminton and basketball and
track and field.
You know, track and, yeah, rugby, all sorts of things. So it definitely, I think there's something for everyone in it, and it's very enjoyable.
It's organised more on a kind of parish basis rather than a GA club basis, isn't it?
Yeah. This is we use the parish boundary as our. Guidelines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And has it lapsed? I mean, or is that a COVID effect?
Well, it's more a COVID effect. We would normally have about 40 areas, and it sort of dropped during the last 2 years because of COVID to about 28, and people weren't too sure what they could expect, and you know, they had no great means of fundraising or anything. And the good thing coming from this development meeting now too is if it's a new area, it's free for the first year, so there's no charge. Normally for any existing area, again, there's a special rate at the moment of €100, but for a new one it's free. And if an area has lapsed over 3 years, I think it is, I think they're also free or half price or something for the first year. So
I suppose in terms of organising it and getting kids together, sometimes that the onus falls on the GAA club within the parish to take a lead on that, but it's not just those people you're appealing to.
Oh, no, it's for, you know, everyone, it's parents anyway, because you see, if we're going to get a new area, we need people to form a committee. So you can have a parent of a child who's interested in any of the things we mentioned there, and you form your committee of your chairperson, your secretary and treasurer, and then they will, you know, they'll promote it in their area, and they will get the news to your GAA and soccer and clubs and whatever else is there.
This Thursday night, 8 p.m. on Zoom. If you want more information, www.communitygames.ie/Tipperary. We wish you well, and thanks indeed for joining us this evening. I appreciate it.
Well, the link is actually just, you see, they'll have to send an email. So Tipperary at communitygames.eu.
Lovely.
Or Peggy. If that fails, they'll get the PRO at communitygames.ie. And thank you so much, Ronan.
Peggy. Stay well, and thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. That's Peggy Colville, PRO of the Tipperary Community Games. That is all we've time for, I'm afraid, this evening. My thanks to Ian O'Connor, who produced tonight. We'll be back with you next Monday night for another busy show after National Football League gets underway. Good night and good luck.